You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Live from Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
This is About Last Night with Brad Williams and Adam Ray
on the Toad Hop Network.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is the About Last Night show with Brad Williams. I'm Brad Williams, and my co-host, Adam Ray. Oh, wait, no. Adam's gone.
It's so spooky. It's just an empty chair.
It really is. Adam Ray, my esteemed co-host, is working, so he got a movie role. So he's there shooting the movie. Apparently, Sandra Bullock has more pull than Brad Williams. Yeah, I see where your loyalty lies, Adam Ray.
So Hollywood. Yeah.
I know. So we got a special guest co-host who will be here eventually. He's stuck on the 405 freeway. You know him from Loveline, Psycho Mike Catherwood. He will be here, but I'm not mad at him for being late because he's extremely good looking. And when you see him on the camera, you're mad, and then you see him, you're just like, oh, I can't stay mad at that face. It's so sexy. But this gives me a chance to introduce our guest, who, let me give you a little backstory too. I was touring around. I was at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone, and a lot of times these clubs provide you with a feature act if you're headlining, the guy to go on in the middle before you. And normally the feature act, I'm not going to lie, blows. Normally the feature act sucks, and as the headliner you're sitting there like, gee, like 20 minutes of sucky material because it's some dude who lives in, forgive me for saying, the city Kansas, and it's just like he doesn't know real stand-up, and then he goes and he just sucks. Mike his name is Mike Malone. He killed every night, destroyed the room every night. I'm sitting back going, crap, I have to work now, jeez. I gotta follow this guy. And so his name is Mike Malone. He has an album out called Let's Get Physical. It's on iTunes, selling well. His podcast is The Mike Malone Show. And you can follow him on Twitter at Malone Comedy. Mike Malone, everybody!
Hey, guys!
Hey, we have applause.
Thank you. That was fancy. I like that. That was fancy.
Yeah. So, and Mike, this is the About Last Night show, and Mike and I did a show actually last night. We were at the Bray Improv on a Sunday night. I felt the show went well. What'd you think, Mike?
Oh, it was beautiful, man. I loved it. The energy in the room was just incredible, man.
Yeah.
They were just great.
And if you were at the show, and now if you're listening to this, thank you again for coming out.
Yes.
And thank you to the fans who continuously come up to me after shows and reference the podcast. I truly, truly thank you for that. It means we're doing something right. It means you guys are listening. And keep talking. Keep telling friends. Keep letting them know that we're here. Let's get back to Mike. Now, Mike, you got started in Cleveland?
Columbus.
Columbus?
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, the big city.
Okay. Yeah. The great. Yeah. Hey, don't talk about Cleveland like that.
Exactly.
I was in Columbus, Ohio.
Exactly. Whoa, I'm offended.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but Columbus has the Columbus Funny Bone out there, which is a great club.
It is the mecca of Midwest comedy. I mean, that is the home of Dave Stroop there, and he is the godfather of Midwest comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He runs all those rooms there.
Absolutely. And, your style, how would I describe your style? I don't know. It's just, it's physical, but then, like, you're not a comic that just relies on being incredibly...
Dancing around.
Yeah, dancing around and being incredibly good looking. Why am I having you and Mike Catherwood on the same damn show? I'm looking like such a schmuck. Well, we could have the hot Mexican, the hot white dude, or the midget. Wonder which ones we're going to pick. Who's going to look
great
at this and be like, oh,
who's booking this show?
Yeah, I'll take the little guy. Why did I do this to myself? But very funny, killed it every night. And I remember the first night I saw you perform when you were opening for me. I just walked up to you. I'm like, how the hell are you not more famous in headlining? You should be headlining.
You've been so nice to me. I cannot thank you enough. And you crushed every night, too. You had no problem. I don't know why.
You know what I do. You know I come in. I just do my thing.
I
yeah.
do what I do, baby.
Yeah.
I do what I do.
But
it
was a great 1-2 combo, and that's some of the stuff that the fans told us last night, was that they really, because our styles are very different, so people don't get the same thing.
Right. It's a good fit, and we don't step on premises or anything like that. Mm-hmm. A lot lot of times you'll work with a guy and he does, you know, 10 minutes on something you're doing 2 minutes. And you're like, oh, man, I can't. Oh, God, yeah. Now it's awkward.
Yeah, I don't really have to worry about a guy going on before me going, you know what? It's tough being a midget. Like,
exactly.
Like, no, I think I'm pretty safe in that regard.
Yeah.
But it was a fun show. Also on the show last night, and I wanted to talk to you about this, is... Yeah. I've always put out to my friends. I have a lot of friends, and I tell them, if you ever want to try stand up, if you ever just get, you want to do it for a bucket list thing, you want to see if you can do it, I will let you open up for me. And, you can do like 3 minutes and just see if you like it. No friend ever took me up on it. Yeah. I've been doing comedy for 9 years. And, finally a friend did. He's my best buddy for 12 years. His name is Ozzy Venegas. And he finally started doing comedy, started opening up for me. He's only done 2 shows for me, so this was really like his first time. And he did a set last night as well. And it's so weird to be like, because you've been doing it how long now?
It'll be 10 years in September.
Yeah. Oh, so, come on. We're on your 10th year. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes, we're pretty much the same. Yeah. So we both been doing it about 10 years. It's so cool to like go back and see someone like start and see how nervous they are and how scared and like like literally like and asking questions like, what do I do with the mic stand when I say goodnight?
Yeah, a lot of I'm glad he's asking those kind of questions is because those guys that don't move the mic stand, you can always tell. It makes things so you cannot believe the difference in between moving the mic stand out of the way and then just standing there in front of it. It just creates you might as well be behind a brick wall.
Yeah, general rule of thumb.
So crazy.
General rule of thumb for people starting comedy is when you're done with your set, you reset the stage. You put the stool back, you put the mic stand back in the middle, put the mic at an appropriate height. And you know, about, you know, 3'2", right?
Yeah,
that's appropriate.
That's club average.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Just making sense. Yeah. And it was so cool. Like, my buddy Ozzy, he had his whole family come out and there, and like, and he's Latino, so his whole family was like 36 people.
Yeah, it was a whole section.
it literally looked like a cheering section at a soccer game. Like they started doing chants in the middle, like, ole, 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 ole.
It was almost like The Price is Right. And then we just pull him up from the crowd. Like,
yeah.
Come on down.
I know. And then he's looking at them for help. Like, what should I talk about next? Talk about Justin Bieber. You think Justin Bieber jokes? Okay, good. I'm doing Justin Bieber jokes.
Go for the Bieber.
And it was so cool. And what was even funnier for me, and I know you heard this from him as well, was he was trying to describe to his very Latino mother what he was going to do. He was trying to describe stand-up comedy to her, and she's like, I don't understand what you...
She even said, I think she said to him, why do people want to hear you talk or something?
Yeah. Like,
because why do people want to hear you?
Yeah, she's like, what are you doing on stage? Mom, I'm talking. I'm just talking on stage, and then people laugh. Why do they laugh?
Why would they listen to you?
Why do they listen to you? What do you say that's funny? You're not funny. It was so
priceless.
Like, it's heartbreaking because just about any comedian, when we start, very few parents, when you start doing comedy, is like, oh, thank God you're going to be a comedian.
Thank
I had
God.
Such high hopes as lawyer, doctor. Oh, nope. Thank God. Mm-hmm. You just went right to the top going comedian.
And it's usually that, oh, dick jokes, huh?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, okay.
Now, your first gig, where was your first gig at?
At the Columbus Funny Bowl. I didn't even know it was an option. I didn't even know it was thing that you could do. I didn't know anything. I was 19. My buddy was 18. He goes, he told me, I'm going to the Columbus Funny Bowl. And I said, what for? And he said, to do stand-up comedy. I was like, you could do that? Like, I had no idea. I was a schmuck. I was enrolled in community college. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baller.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Put my life together, and
well, you know, at that point, community college, like I got my career options are Walmart greeter, stand up comedian,
exactly.
Woo-hoo!
It's pretty much even at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
So my buddy, he signed me. He called back and he signed me up because they were having to sneak him in. They told him, hey, the guys running the open mic show said, hey, I'm gonna bring you in, but you can't drink, can't do anything, you have to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we were we're like, we'll do anything, just let us come in. And so he signed me up too. We had 2 weeks to prepare, and we bought a little video camera. We recorded every night.
Wow.
We recorded our 5 minutes over and over again. And then we show up, and it's a contest that we didn't know about. Our first time on stage.
Oh, really?
Ever. And they're like, you can't say the F word, no dirty material, no this. And we're like, that's all we got.
Well, when you start, you don't know what to do. And like, a good tip that I always heard older comics tell young guys is write clean because it's way easier to dirty it up than it is to clean it up. Like if you have that killer baby rape bit, like you can't suddenly be like, how do we clean up that one?
Exactly. Yeah. But that is a great advice if you do start writing clean right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier and the opportunities are amazing. A lot of people are like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be doing charity show. Okay, really? You don't want to be doing fundraisers? You want to be doing like...
It's like you're just
like
starting.
Corporate events and
stuff. You're starting. You want shows.
You want anything.
Yeah.
I performed in Applebee's restaurants. I performed in bowling alleys. I've been in...
Here's the thing. Because I've done bowling alley shows back in the day.
God, yeah. Now,
mine always had a side room, so we didn't actually hear the pins...
Right.
Like going in the middle.
Well, you can still hear them.
That's true. You can. You're like,
is that an applause break? Or
yeah, so I walk into the bar. Like, that's literally like you're trying to time your punchline in between the ball being rolled and it actually hitting. And then in some other room, you hear some bad Asian karaoke going on. I want to be American idiot. All right. Awesome. Now I got to do a punchline.
Now I got to do this.
And that's the thing is when you'd start off, I mean,
you do everything.
I'm spoiling Ozzy right now because his two gigs
are
in front of my audiences at improvs, like the Improv Comedy Club, which is some of the best comedy clubs in the country.
He's going to hate you.
Because he's finally going to do it. He's finally going to do an open mic night and have to deal with... You know, just nine comics in the audience who are just staring at you like, if you laugh, then I don't get paid or I don't get famous, which is the dumbest thing that an open mic comic can do. These open mic comics sit in the audience of the open mic shows and they don't laugh at other comedians because they think that it's going to like make that guy get on the Tonight Show or something. And it's like, dude, we're at a truck stop right now. A Tonight Show scout is not going towards the truck stops looking for the next big thing. You can laugh. It's okay.
Here's the best example that I was in Boston, and my buddy was taking me around to all the open mic circuits after our show. Tom Dustin, super funny guy. He's out of Boston. He's the king of Boston comedy.
Nice.
And so he's taking us around to these places, and he starts heckling the comedians. Like at the open mic night, he's like, "Ah, you suck, boo! Get off the stage, you fake!" And I'm like, what is going on? And so we're in the car later, and I go, is everybody yell at each other? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, you guys don't do that back home? I go, no. He goes, yeah, it makes it so much better. They either A, get funnier, or B, give up.
All right.
He's like, it makes it so much easier. Holy shit.
I mean, in a sick way, it kind of makes sense. But I always thought that open mics are hard enough as
it is. Exactly. Well, why are you...
And if you've been doing it, and I just remember, you don't want to deal with hecklers on top of that. And comedian hecklers that know how to fuck up a joke.
Exactly.
Like, if you're a comic heckler, I know exactly
where you
can say. Yeah, you can say punchlines before the guy gets to them.
Better punchlines.
Yeah, better punchlines. What you should have said. You know,
this joke would have worked.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had never seen anything like it. And he'd act like I was the asshole. He's like, what, you don't do that back home? I'm like, no,
to each other. We support.
I'm from the Midwest. We're very support it. We bring people pie here. Good try.
Midwest people, nicest people on the planet, which is also another way that I'm spoiling my buddy Ozzy, because when he comes out to do the first couple shows, he's working with you, he's a great guy, he's working with me, and he's my best friend of 12 years.
Now, even Gary was not, I mean, Gary was
Gary
awesome.
Cannon, who was hosting, and then he was great, very helpful to him.
Yeah.
Like, you go to open mic nights, it's fucking dog-eat-dog there. It's just vicious. It's piranhas and sharks waiting for blood.
Nobody makes eye contact here. Either.
No.
It's so different.
My favorite part, one of my first times doing an open mic, this guy comes up to me, and I guess he could tell that I was really nervous and really scared. And he goes, hey, man, this is like your first couple times. I'm like, yeah, this is my very first time on stage. He's like, don't worry. I've been doing the open mics for 12 years. Watch me. I'll show you what to do. And in my head, I'm like, you've been doing open mics for 12 years? You suck. Why the hell would I want to do what you do? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, dude,
That's where my naive Midwest comes. I go, oh, this guy seems really nice.
Yeah.
Like, what a nice guy to tell. I was expecting you to go that way with it. Instead, you're like, yeah, fuck this
guy.
Yeah,
fuck you.
He's
I don't want to do
it.
Yeah, it's like someone walks up to you. I've been the fluffer in this porn company for 15 years. Let me tell you how to be a success, kid.
I'll teach you how to fuck. You know nothing. You know nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's this crazy world of open mic where it's never, like we said, it's almost never at a comedy club. It's usually at a bar. You got to deal with sports on the TV, which is always, right?
I have had that where people are literally watching NASCAR at full volume at the bar 20 feet away. And you're I was doing a pizza shop somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. Yeah. And they had NASCAR on 20, and they had people were having like child birthday parties going on, and they had literally had a karaoke machine set up with one of those like little 3-foot cords.
Yeah,
and that was the show. That was like, here's your
that
area.
Was your wow. Yeah. It's like we got so it's like we got pool over here, we got NASCAR over here, we got stand up comedy in this corner of the room.
It's a multiplex pizza shop.
It's like a white trash Dave and Buster's.
That is
a very low budget Dave and Buster's. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I almost think that's better than what they do sometimes when. Like, it's good to have sports just maybe on. The worst is when sports is on, and then right before the show, they turn it off.
Ugh, and people are angry.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we know there's 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter of the Laker game, but now you're going to watch a bunch of open micers try to tell you jokes.
But now it's comedy.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck? Kobe was taking over, man. And then they get so, who's ready to laugh at that point?
Oh, man. There's so many ways a show can go, and just little it's like foreplay. It almost is like there's so many things like it just a little. If you just tweak it the wrong way, I'm not gonna. Nothing's gonna happen.
Exactly. Like, hey, they like the fingering, but the second you stick one pinky in the ass,
exactly. Now
they get mad.
Now I'm some kind of pervert.
Exactly.
It's awful.
It's that crazy fine line.
It's just
speaking of fine lines.
Yeah.
Speaking of fine lines, and we're gonna take a break in maybe about 10 minutes, but we're gonna talk in length about this. For some odd reason, apparently the worst people in the world in the last week have been stand-up comedians.
We keep popping up in the news.
Yeah,
it's just
screw
heartless
evil dictators. Ugh. Screw bankers, screw tax people, screw lawyers. Stand-up comics are the worst people in the world because we keep having stories in the last week alone. We've had
three
main ones that I could think about. Eddie Griffin story, that just happened like 2 days ago.
Right.
Now, if you don't know the Eddie Griffin story, he was at a club called Tommy T's in Pleasanton, a club that I've played. And it's a strange club, but it's not exactly it's a steakhouse that happens to have comedy.
All right.
But it's good.
Like, steak and jokes?
Yeah, steak and jokes. That's literally what's on the menu, steak and jokes.
I like it.
And I love Tommy. He was one of the first guys to ever headline me, so I really love the club. Eddie Griffin's on stage. And while he's on stage, he says something. A woman throws a drink at him.
Yeah.
He gets mad, reaches down, picks up another drink, and throws it back at her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck yeah. As every comic, we all wanted to do that at some point. Because we're supposed to be the ones just stand up there and like, oh, don't do that, buddy.
Exactly,
That's what we're – but Eddie's just, fuck you. Boom. And that's – but then, of course, he does that. They stop the show. The cops are called. Everyone gets moved out of the club. So, yeah, that incident. There's actually video of it.
Yeah, I saw it looks really like somebody just in the crowd from a cell phone. I saw it on TMZ of all places.
Yeah, and that's where it is.
Yeah.
And so you got that, and then you had the Tammy Pescatelli situation. Very talented comedian. I love Tammy Pescatelli.
She's great.
Funny as hell. She's on stage, and she's doing one of her famous bits where she just says, like, don't you just want to look at someone and be like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And that keeps going, and she's brilliant with it. And some lady in the front row, like, heckles her. So
she was on her phone. And Tammy said, are you reading a book on your Nook? Like, just trying to play.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing is, like, with crowd work, you can be playful and you can get it done. And,
yeah.
And true professionals know that you don't have to. The guys, there's so many instances where guys are in the wrong, where they just snap right away. And they're
sure.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you're
don't
texting.
Stop yelling at. Yeah, like, what? So she was being
right.
playful and being nice. And she said, what are you reading a book on your Nook? Just joking around. Mm-hmm. And the woman said to her, your jeans are too tight and you're making jokes about your husband and I don't like them. Whoa, all right.
Like, all you said was book on the Nook.
Yeah.
That's it. You didn't look down and be like, hey, so you're reading 50 Shades of Grey because you can't get laid, you tramp.
Exactly.
You didn't say that. Just
no.
Book on the Nook, playful, just
right.
maybe to acknowledge, let them
exactly.
know, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this right now.
Exactly.
That's it. Not threatening. And
yeah.
this lady says that, and then what?
They
at her?
Well, they go back and forth for a couple minutes. The lady says something else, or Tammy said something about her hair. She says something about her being blonde. She goes, well, I'm not a true blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And Tammy goes, well, you're not fooling any of us. We already knew that. And that's when the woman threw the glass.
Throws a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Full of wine at Tammy. Wine gets on Tammy.
Yeah.
She ducks the glass. It goes behind her. And Tammy, in a very clever way, makes jokes about it, but at the same time says to the audience, like, hey, that's assault.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Yeah, like, it very much is.
Yeah, under the definition of assault, it is.
If you went to Walmart,
right, and just like
and just start, that's assault.
Right. If Greer says, "Hey, welcome to Walmart," and I take
yeah.
it, and you like that doesn't work. And she actually asked the audience if they would all stay and be witnesses because she was going to call the cops.
Right.
And the entire audience is like, yes, we will stay because she's
yeah.
killing. They love her as they should.
Right.
The cops show up. They all give statements. There's over 300 witnesses that give pretty much the exact same statement. And the cops tell Tammy, we can't press charges because yeah. you're a comedian.
Yeah, they did nothing. It's part of the show.
Yeah,
like, that's her big closer.
That's
like,
not part of the show.
That's what I'm doing tonight.
Drunk whore in the front row is not part of, like,
yeah.
and that's what pisses me off, and I know you've done this. Like, I know you've had hecklers come up to you after shows and be like, hey, I really helped you out.
Helping you out.
No, you didn't help me. I'm just that good. Like,
I was doing
my thing. You threw a spike strip in the middle of my
yeah.
road, and then I just found a shortcut around it.
Tammy, are you going to do that wine glass closer tonight? I love it when I brought my mother here on her birthday, and we were hoping you'd do the wine glass.
I know.
Can my mother throw a wine? Can she be the one?
could she be the one that throws the wine at you? It'd be so great.
People don't know any better. That's what baffles my mind. People literally don't know any better. I was
yeah.
doing a show and in Indiana, and this woman was completely turned around in her chair, so she's not even facing the stage, and she's talking at room volume.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing: is I try to ignore things as much as I can. I hate being like, I'm not an insult comic. I don't just go after you. I do it
right.
in a playful way if I have to.
Right. Well, because I mean, some comics jump on too fast. My philosophy
yeah.
is, the entire room doesn't know that that person is texting.
Exactly.
They're not annoying the entire room.
Right.
So if you just start off and be like, hey, fuck you. Everyone thinks that you just said fuck
everybody
you to a woman for no reason.
Everybody thinks you're a crazy person.
Right.
Now everybody hates you.
Right.
So just casually, I get real quiet and I just start, I'm staring at her.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole room gets quiet and they just start looking at what I'm looking at. Because at this point, people around her are beginning to shush her, and that's the last thing you want as a comic, is
yeah.
to lose that control of the room.
Right, 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 right.
And so I get real quiet, and so we all start staring at her, and she turns around, and she goes, what? And I go, we can all hear you. And
yeah.
she goes, it's my friend's birthday, and we haven't seen each other in like 2 months.
Oh!
And I go,
perfect!
Oh my, well, we're kind of doing a show here. I don't know if you saw the lights and the microphone.
We're
doing a show.
The fact that there's one person on here talking way louder than everyone
exactly.
else.
And she goes, it's my friend's birthday, and I go, I'm so sorry. I go, guys, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm an ass. We're trying to do a show on your friend's birthday, and you're trying to, I am so sorry. Go back to catching up. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. And she goes, thank you. And turn back around. She turned back around. And so,
like, she didn't get it.
Yeah, she didn't get it. And the whole crowd's like, what? And I go, and I, at this point, you're like, I got it. And I go, bitch,
yeah.
I was kidding with you. You can't talk to me.
Are you that self-righteous that
yeah.
you're just like, oh, no, everyone should listen
exactly.
to my conversation.
And I go, these people all pay. And I go, I tell you what, I go.
Go to a fucking coffee shop.
Exactly. I go.
Go there. Why are you coming to a stand-up show where there's other distractions?
Yeah. I go,
Jesus.
I have 10 minutes left. Can I just get through this 10 minutes? And she goes, She goes, okay, fine. And I go, well, for that, I'm doing 20. And the crowd goes, yeah! And we had a great night after that.
Oh, my God. So, and then the third most popular story, which we're going to take a quick break and then come back and probably talk about that at great length, is the Daniel Tosh controversy. So we will talk about that. This is Mike Malone. I'm Brad Williams. This is the About Last Night show.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
Frank here for ShoeDazzle.com. Well, not so much for ShoeDazzle.com. I'm here for you, guys. If you're looking to do something special for your lady and you don't want to really think about it, you go to ShoeDazzle.com and set her up with an account. She goes on and she picks out her style, and ShoeDazzle.com does the shopping for her. They get her own little boutique where they give her shoes every single month, and women love shoes. Us, really not so much. We could care less. But they love them. You'll get super huge points if you just get her an account at ShoeDazzle.com. Hot shoes and accessories personalized to fit her unique style. New products are added regularly, and you only have to buy them if she likes them, which I'm sure she'll like them. But the great thing is, every pair of shoes is only $39.95. So this is really a no-brainer because you don't have to think about anything at all. You get her an account at ShoeDazzle.com, and you look like a saint the rest of your life. So sign her up today at ShoeDazzle.com by clicking on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, typing in the word Heidi, H-E-I-D-I, and you'll get 20% off. So sign her up today at ShoeDazzle.com.
If you haven't been listening to App Addicts...
Well, I've been using it because I run about 4.2, 4.3 miles, and that's kind of my average run. And I've been able to improve already a minute on my 4.2 mile time.
So, and this app helped you do
because
that?
I track it, yeah.
Because you track it.
And as I'm running, it actually says, and so this is the app NOM, which we've already talked about.
NOM? N-O-M?
N-O-O-M.
N-O-O-N.
M. M. Yeah, okay. I'll bring it up and I'll show you guys.
Yeah, please.
But what it's actually done is as I'm running, it tells me how fast I run. So if I'm not running fast enough, every 2 minutes, it says, oh, you're running 7.6 miles an hour. Oh, you're running 7.
Does it say you're running slower or you're getting fatter? Can you make it say stuff like in a British accent, like, you big fat pig, you.
App Addicts, Fridays at 4 Pacific, only on the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
Hey, it's Heidi and Frank for ScoreBig.com. There's been two ways to get tickets up until now. You can go to the venue or team site and buy your tickets directly, or you could go to the big ticket sellers, the scalpers, if the tickets for the really big events are sold out. And you can pay way, way over face value.
Who wants to do that? Who would do
Nobody.
That? That's stupid. You don't have to do that anymore. Thanks to ScoreBig.com, a great website where you always pay less than retail, and you never, ever, ever pay any ticketing fees at ScoreBig.com. And you can save up to 60% on tickets.
Every ticket on the ScoreBig website is below retail price, guaranteed. Great events: Lakers, Clippers, Kings, USC, UCLA, basketball, Disney Hall, Geffen Theater. Mention specific teams in a list.
Well, you did. And I think that's perfect the way you did
those
that.
Those were teams in Southern California, but ScoreBig.com is everywhere.
Everywhere.
I got a tweet from a guy saying he's got his Giants tickets and he saved 30%.
Awesome. Thanks, ScoreBig.com. And that's what we're talking about. Not just nosebleed seats, everything from the floor to the rafters. And again, no service or shipping fees ever. Your offer at ScoreBig.com is what you pay.
Always listen to retail, never any fees, ScoreBig.com. Then type in Heidi and Frank to get the passcode. Skip the line.
Yeah.
Start shopping right away. Get your tickets today.
VIP treatment.
Don't wait. Type in Heidi and Frank.
Do it right now. What are you still sitting here for?
ScoreBig.com.
Proof why I was never a cheerleader. I can't spell.
There's more proof than that.
Now back to About Last Night.
On the Toad Hop Network.
All right. We are back on the About Last Night show. My guest, comedian Mike Malone, very funny dude. Hope you're listening to us, however you're listening to us. Thank you. You could be listening on iTunes. You could be listening to the show on Stitcher. You could also be listening on ToadHopNetwork.com and watching at ToadHopNetwork.com. And apparently, a lot of you guys are watching because I have gotten numerous insults about the shirt I am wearing. let's just say this. One fan just tweeted me. I'm at Funny Brad if you want to tweet me. And one fan just tweeted me, it looks like you got raped by the Kool-Aid Man. So apparently, I don't know. I won't say the name of the company, even though it's sprawled across my chest. But you can see this. It's so weird because I before coming in to do this show, I was actually over helping Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross has a new show coming out on Comedy Central, and I'm kind of helping out with it. I'll probably be on it a few times. And yeah, they were in a pitch meeting in the writer's room, and I walked in, and they immediately all looked at my shirt and just started. It went from making fun of one thing to just like, all right, who's got 20 jokes on Brad's shirt? And it just, oh my God, I got ripped a new one. So yeah,
that's great.
Needless to say, this shirt is going in the trash after this. What did he say? That's not Ed Hard. That's not Ed Hardy. That's Ed Softy. That's Ed Hardly Not. That's it's just great. Oh my God.
Ed Hardly.
Yeah, I got it.
That's beautiful.
Ed Hardly Not a shirt. Yeah. So apparently, you know what? I'm 28. I'm still allowed to dress like a douchebag. Okay.
Yeah.
That and you know what? Being a dwarf. I can wear this kind of stuff, and people just look at me and go, oh, yeah, that's what dwarfs do. Like, that's their thing.
Yeah.
They wear douchebag shirts. It's okay. Yeah, you know.
Listen,
when you're an adult small as a 28-year-old man, it's either this or Bob the Builder. Shut the fuck up. I don't have a lot of options. Okay?
I would prefer you being a Bob the Builder shirt.
Probably. Yeah. Right? Just like try to pick up chicks with my Bob the Builder t-shirt. People are like, look at me, like, am I a pedophile for hitting on you?
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's Bob the Builder. Respect, man. Build a ladder up to that pussy. Yeah. By the way, ladder up to that pussy.
That is the worst pickup line I've ever.
Ladder up to the pussy is the name of my next album. So, awesome. Good stuff. We teased it. Oh, by the way, Mike Catherwood, still not here. Still stuck on the 405 freeway. So, yeah, if you live in L.A. or you ever want to go to L.A., just don't go on the 405 freeway.
If you guys can all just scoot over to the right
for listening.
And let Mike pass, that would be great.
So he can come here for like 5 minutes.
If he could just come in, show how handsome he is, and then leave. We'll give it back to you. You'll be back on the road. You can cut him off and curse at him. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Anyway, so we teased it before the break, but we wanted to talk about the Daniel Tosh controversy. Yeah, I know. It's
fiasco.
It's just angry. Here's what happened. For those of you who don't know what happened with the Tosh thing. Tosh was on stage at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, the Laugh Factory is what you call a showcase club. So headliners are doing 20 minutes each, about 20 minutes each, where it's not normal host feature, headline is an hour.
Right.
It's 20 minutes each. And I think Dane Cook went on right before Tosh.
Because they go back to back to back there.
Right.
It does no, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, Tosh came on, and as he's talking, he does a rape joke.
Well,
was that it?
Here's the first off, the woman that wrote the blog wasn't even there. It was her friend.
Okay.
And they he was in the middle of, he's trying some new stuff out, and he said, well, what do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which is standard comic, like, you know, working on whatever. And a guy in the audience yelled out rape. It wasn't the media has portrayed it as if Tosh was up there just being like, I got 20 minutes on rape I'm trying to
yeah,
work
exactly.
out.
I got this rape chunk.
Exactly. Yeah.
By the way, Rape Chunk, great band.
So this guy yells out rape, and Tosh, in a smart-ass Tosh way, says, rape's always funny. You know, rape's never not been funny. And this woman in the crowd couldn't suppress it anymore. She couldn't let that get to... And she said, rape's never funny!
Mm-hmm.
And yelled out, and then Tosh responded with...
Tosh responded with, wouldn't it be funny if that girl just got raped by, like, 5 dudes right now?
Like, right now, as she was yelling.
Like, right now, as she's complaining about rape. Which, okay, take the word rape out. Just look at the joke.
Yeah.
Look at the basis of how that joke was constructed. I don't like X.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be funny if X just happened to you as you're complaining about it? Okay,
yes.
That's why that joke is funny.
Yes.
It is. And apparently he said that the girl didn't even leave at that point. Just sat back down. But then goes home, her friend writes this blog.
No, they walked out.
Oh, they did? Okay.
They did walk out, and they waited till he was a couple minutes late, so it wasn't so obvious, and they walked out. And then her friend wrote a blog, and now Tosh has just been in, like, every day for, you know, we're just horrible people as comics now. And
right.
We can't believe them. We have all the censorship. And the thing is, it's not even about the word rape.
No.
It's not about the – it's about the power and control of the room, and it's about the audience being able to not interrupt. It's a lie. It's art. Yeah. Comedy is art.
And we have a caller. You could always call into the show. The number here is 1-888-520-4374. If you're listening on iTunes later and you want to call in live, we do the show every Monday from 3 to 4 Pacific time. 1-888-520-4374. Let's see who's on the line. Hello?
Hi, Brad. It's me, Tony.
Damn it! Interrupting Tony Danza!
Yeah.
I thought we could do one show without you interrupting us.
Well, I thought I'd do one show where you weren't a midget.
God.
He does have you there, Brad.
What's going on?
Brad, I just want to say, hey, where'd you get that shirt? It looks like a 10-year-old girl on a period. Used it to wipe up a period, and then took it down to a T-shirt shop and had to draw a needle on it.
Damn it, interrupting Tony Danza.
Got you again, motherfucker. I want to say real quick, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want to, this whole topic of rape, I mean, first of all, rape sounds a lot like grape, and you can't get upset at a grape. What you can get upset with is the fact that, you know, here's the thing. I used to speak at D.A.R.E. graduations. Remember D.A.R.E.?
Yeah, D.A.R.E. Keep your kids off drugs.
What does it stand for? It stands for drug. I smoke too much pot, but it stands for don't do drugs, you fucking little kids or something. But anyway,
I don't think that's what it stands for, Tony. But okay, that'd be like D.D.
Anyway, yeah, well, it's an acronym. Whatever the acronym is, bystander at this point. But Brad, I used to speak at graduations.
Okay.
And to tell these kids, you know, not to do drugs, to get involved, and try to really shape the young minds of tomorrow and how drugs can be a debilitator as far as making progress in life.
How does this have anything to do with rape jokes?
This is a long set. This rape joke better be really good.
hey, fuck you, co-host. So I used to open these speeches by saying, hey, kids, now drugs are bad. That goes without saying. But you know what's really bad? Getting raped by a walrus. And these kids would die laughing, because not only would I say raped by a walrus, which is a funny image, but I had a guy dressed up in a walrus suit come out and act like he was sticking his walrus dick in the side of my jean pocket. And these kids, for them to know at that age that that was funny, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but the point is, you know, Daniel Tosh did nothing.
All right, we just mysteriously lost connection somehow to interrupting Tony Danza. Damn it. We can't do one show without Tony Danza calling in. Anyway, he's still trying to get work. But anyway, back to... Hey, Mike Catherwood is here, everyone! The 405 freeway opened up. The seas parted. Have a seat, buddy. Have a seat. Coming in, the incredibly good-looking Mike Catherwood has just showed up, ladies and gentlemen. And looking especially cut, having the Virgin Mary de Guadalupe on your T-shirt.
That's right.
So Mexicans.
Keeping it real.
Well, that's why you couldn't get through the traffic at the 405. Mexicans were stopping and like praying to you and stuff like that. Anyway, thank you for joining us.
Of course, man. Sorry I'm late. I hate to be late.
Hey, no worries, man. We're talking about the Daniel Tosh controversy.
Yeah.
And basically, I mean, we're talking about people. If you go to a comedy show and you can say, okay, well, he shouldn't have said that, he shouldn't have said rape, whatever. But the thing is she heckled him.
Mm-hmm.
Once you heckle at a comedy show, we don't, like, we're just trying to keep it going.
It's a verbal agreement that you have whatever's coming to you.
Absolutely.
You're yelling at me while I'm on stage. You're yelling at me. You can't do that at any other. You can't get away with that anyway. You can't go to Macy's and just start yelling at people at the counter and not expect them to be like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You can't fucking yell at me like that.
Yeah. And the thing with it also is that what I read that blog, and nowhere in that blog did it say, did the audience laugh?
No, it didn't.
Nowhere does it say that, because I guarantee you they did.
Exactly.
And that's why she didn't talk about it in the blog, because I'm sure the audience all laughed, all thought it was funny, except for the one person who.
And that's the thing. There's so many hot buttons. It's almost impossible to do a complete, because you're up there. You're doing, you know, half hour, an hour, or whatever. It's almost impossible to dodge all those landmines.
Absolutely,
people have personal, problems and upset, you know, triggers and all that stuff.
I mean, Mike, you were on the Kevin and Bean show, very popular morning show. You guys were on every weekday doing 4 hours a day.
Yeah, four and a half, really.
4.5 hours a day. It's like you're doing 4.5 hours of material. There's going to be, you can't do 4.5 hours of talking without saying something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes even farther. You said once she heckled, she kind of opened herself up to it. Yeah. I think, look, once you're a patron of whoever the performer is,
right,
you've already relinquished your ability to say crap about it.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
What people don't understand is there's a giant difference between something being right or wrong and being offensive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's plenty of stuff that maybe ethically isn't correct. It doesn't make it, from an art form standpoint, it doesn't make it right or wrong.
Right.
It's nobody's business whether or not. Like, Daniel Tosh can say whatever the hell he wants, and I'm sorry if he offended that young lady. Too fucking bad. I mean, that's the bottom line. The only way to handle it from here on out is, like, you can't apologize.
No, and I was almost mad
that he did apologize. Yeah. I was like, why would you?
Well, he's answering to higher ups.
If he was still a struggling comic,
believe me, he wouldn't.
Yeah, well, but if he was still a struggling comic, the woman would have complained and wouldn't have taken it public.
Yeah,
because she's going after
never
a target.
Heard
this
story.
Because I know I dealt with that when I was on working for E! News on the Daily 10. I made an Adam Lambert comment that everybody flipped the fuck out about.
Really?
And I wouldn't have, if in a million years, apologize for it, but you know, I felt like there's a lot of other people that are relying on this show.
It's, when you have the higher ups, when you have the higher ups who sign your check, you know,
same with Loveline. I mean, you know, when you deal with a show that's like constantly, it's nothing but a big goulash of hot button topics.
Mike Catherwood, co-host of the Loveline nationally syndicated radio show with Dr. Drew Pinsky, and people are calling in all the time with the most terrible stories of molestation and cheating and like the terrible things. And you, like, Drew is kind of the straight guy, the doctor. It's your job on that show to be the entertaining one, to like come in with the joke and kind of not make fun but make light.
Yeah, and I mean, less so now. I mean, you have almost a responsibility not sometimes to be entertaining, but at the same time, you know, if someone calls up, you know, from my standpoint, it's like if someone calls up and they say, I'm addicted to pills and I want to stop, but I'm going to go through A, B, and C, and I'm not going to do D, E, and F. If I say, well, listen, you're a fucking idiot, and you're going to kill yourself if you don't do D, E, and F.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sure enough, within moments, I get emails. They're like, you have to be more sensitive to people like that. He called up, and I go, I don't have to do shit.
you know
what I'm saying? Like, really, I don't. I'm sorry you personally did not like the way I handled that caller. But that's none of your fucking business.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And absolutely. And with these topics of when people call him, like, they're like, well, but can you honestly get behind him saying that wouldn't it be funny if five people raped that woman at that point? Yes, because it's a comedy club.
Right.
If he was entering a corporate meeting and said, hey, let's look at the statistics of the bottom line of this last quarter, and hey, Julie, wouldn't it be funny if you got raped right now? Okay, then you could be pissed off.
Then it's different. But as it's our job to help people escape from those issues and help people, you know, not worry about that. And if you are hitting that hot button, it's just to help make it easier to get through that stuff.
Right.
It's not, again, there's so much out there that it's not even, even about the word rape.
That's a very valid point, too. Mm-hmm. People have to remember, look, you know, going into it, whatever the performance art may be, whether it be a band, whether it be a stand-up comedian, whether it be your favorite TV show, you go into it knowing that there are options for you. And if you're going to watch, go to pay money to see Daniel Tosh, you know you're not going to see Sinbad. If you wanted to see something that was possibly going to be completely unoffensive, then go see Sinbad. And I, like, that's
the
great thing
about
Sinbad's
hilarious.
Right,
exactly.
He's funny.
In my line of work, in order for Howard Stern to exist, there has to be Ryan Seacrest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm serious. Like, there has to be people to.
It's yin and yang.
Yeah, there has to be people to. In order for you know, two live crew to have ever existed, Will Smith had to rap. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Exactly.
Absolutely. So you need that, and you need those options. Like, that's why there's different people out there. There's options.
Right.
When you go to a comedy club, it's either ha-ha or no ha-ha.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are your only options. Well, don't you think rape is too much of a hot button issue? No, because once you say that a comedian can't make a rape joke, then this other person had people in her family die of cancer, so now we can't do cancer jokes. And this person has sex with a black dude, so we can't do black jokes. And we can't, like, then it's really just a slippery slope. And who's to say that your problem is more important than this person's problem? So we should be better with them than we should with you. We can't do that.
And furthermore, we couldn't make it any easier for the audience. Like, we couldn't make it any easier for you. You show up. Well, you don't even have to pick out your seat. You don't have to stress out about somebody's already picked out your seat for you. They seat you. All you have to do is eat chicken wings, have a beer, and just sit. That's all you have. Just don't yell at me.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Uh-huh,
we couldn't
uh-huh.
make it any fucking simpler for you.
Yeah, and then some people were saying, like, oh, well, he should have picked something else to come back with her at. And it's just like, when you're in that moment, there's a million things going through your head. You're just trying to get the show. And also people are like, well, he should have been funnier. People don't realize stand-up is something you cannot practice.
Yeah.
I can't go to the gym and be by myself and practice jokes.
Yeah.
I can't be next to the guy doing squats, like two guys walking to a bar. Was that good? I don't know. Like, you can't do that. You have to do stand-up in front of an audience. You need the live feedback. So it doesn't come out gold. Not every joke starts out perfect.
I think it has to do with a lot of what's happening now with the trend that's happening this week with the wine glasses, with the Daniel Tosh incident and all this other stuff. It's building up where it's really showing that there's no respect left. When even nowadays, I've been full-time for years now. I do 48 weeks on the year, and I'll still meet somebody and be like, oh, I do stand-up comedy. Well, what else do you do? That's it, motherfucker.
By the way, in my opinion, maybe the hardest job on the planet. Right up there with President of the United States. Like, until you try it. That's the same. Like, the way I feel about stand-up and any type of performance art, like, if you're being an entertainer, because with Twitter and with Facebook and everything right now, all I see is so much cynicism, so much hatred, and so much no one goes online with the idea of, like, I'm going to compliment this young lady or this young man for their performance. It's all hate. It's like, this, I was watching UFC at a sports bar a couple years ago, because I usually typically watch it alone, because I don't drink, so it's not a typical environment where I want to be. But I remember I was watching what was it? It was the Nate Diaz Cowboy Cerrone fight.
Okay.
And all the guys around me, all they do is talk shit about what pussies these guys are. And I'm thinking to myself,
what are you talking about?
How did you go down? He just punched you in the face. Well, have Nate Diaz punch you in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
And the same way I feel about being a radio personality or being a comic or being a rock star, it's like, until you have at least once, go in your life, rehearse a song, devote your life to writing something, think of something creative, get up in front of a stage of complete strangers and do it for yourself, then try and talk shit. If you can do that, that's fine.
Yeah.
If Chuck Liddell wants to sit in the crowd and criticize all the other fighters,
done.
That's his deal.
Done.
But don't fucking sit back and then talk, because if anybody could be creative, if everybody could be creative and do something and get paid for it, they would. But it's one of the hardest things in the fucking world to do, and it's like everybody just wants to shit on people for it.
And by the way, we're not saying you have to like it.
Sure.
Not saying that. We're just saying,
don't like it out loud.
Just say, okay,
I'm
not gonna listen to this. I'm not gonna watch this. Right. I'm not gonna do.
She could have easily just walked out and not said anything, or just sat there for 30 more seconds and
wait for the next joke.
Would have. And here's the thing: is like, there's a reason that the Laugh Factory, the establishment of the Laugh Factory, has trusted him to be up on stage, and they've given him an allotted amount of time because they trust him to do his job and take control of the room and be that guy at that time. There's comedy clubs all over the country that do that. They trust us with their business.
Right.
And who are you to be like, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. This, Jamie Masada, who has run the Laugh Factory successfully for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Exactly. He must be wrong on this.
Yeah, I just got off the bus from Oregon. I know what comedy is.
Taste is not objective. People have to remember that. Like, just because you do not like a particular restaurant's food does not make that restaurant's food wrong.
Right.
It isn't. There's no objectivity to taste. Yeah. You are free to not like or like anything.
If you go to Applebee's and you don't like the chicken wings at Applebee's,
do you walk back and fucking yell at the chef?
And on top of that, don't go back to don't go see Daniel Tosh again. Yeah. Problem solved. Yeah. Guess what? There you go.
Because without people going to see a comic, a band, or something, we don't exist.
Exactly.
We only exist on behalf of the fans. Now,
and it just gives comedy such a bad name when something like this happens.
We've had a bunch of calls coming in. I've been kind of ignoring them, but there's this one call I do want to take. This guy named Kevin's calling in. Mm-hmm. Kevin wants to complain about us complaining.
Okay.
So,
well, I mean, and I get it. If I'm a plumber and I'm driving home from work, or this is my favorite podcast, like, it does get old. Like, you know, yeah, like you don't want to hear people who have cool jobs complain about
sure.
Like, it is weird.
Kevin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I told your call screener that I wanted to complain about the fact that you guys were complaining, but in reality, I always podcast, and I never get a chance to call in,
or
at least until now, and I just wanted to tell you guys that I love the show. I love what you're doing.
Oh, wow, thank you.
And I actually agree with what you're saying about people who talk shit about other people who, until you try it, you got no room to talk.
Right, and thank you so much. Man, I was getting all amped up. Yeah, you're like, all right, let's go, motherfucker. And then you're like, so nice. Now I can't get mad at you.
It's about to go down, dude.
I just thought that I would call up and tell you something good, because I never get a chance to call, and I enjoy the show so much, but you never know that because I can never call until
Perfect.
Now.
Oh, well, Kevin, thank you so much for listening, and like I said before in the podcast, thank you all people who listen, who enjoy, who comment on iTunes, who rate us. I think we've had like 58 ratings, and only one of them has been not 5 stars. Some dude is like, you're not professional, you stutter. Sorry.
Come on.
But whatever.
You guys are great. Thanks for what you do.
Hey, thank you again, Kevin, for calling in. So,
that's right. Awesome.
Well, that's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was very
compliment.
Nice. It's a double-edged sword, you know, when you're an entertainer, because you know by going into the business that you're setting yourself up for criticism. That's your part of your gig.
That's your gig.
Especially as a comic. You know you going in.
Right.
Yeah. But
you know not every joke's going to kill.
At the same time, there's no other business in the world where people really, really are very in-depth, thorough critics of something they have no idea about.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other line of work, excluding maybe sports, where you hear guys, I'm like, dude, you throw like a fucking girl and you're talking shit about Clayton Kershaw right now. Like, you have no, like, you didn't even make my high school baseball team. How the fuck are you going to sit here? You know, but in reality, like, no one has anything to say negatively about a contractor if they've never swung a hammer. No one really, you know, gets these like big long diatribes about a fireman if they've never been in the academy.
Right.
But yet, if no matter what facet of the entertainment industry you are, everybody seems to be an expert. You know,
sure, because they could obviously do it.
Yeah,
or that's what they think. And it's just something where we have so much material coming out, and we're trying constantly, and especially at a club like the Laugh Factory. The Laugh Factory for a guy like Tosh is that's his practice.
It's home base. It's his gym. It's where he works out.
When he wants to go out on tour and do these theaters all over the country, that's not the place where he can be really trying stuff out.
Yeah,
where
these people are paying $75 a scene. You don't want to have him be like, hey, get his notebook out.
Let me see if this is
funny. I paid $100 to be here.
It is the weird, strange thing about being a comic is that you rehearse on stage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you work shit out live.
We were just talking about that. Yeah.
That is so weird. I mean, I can't imagine, like, building a song, a band building a song, like, at concerts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what.
Bruce Springsteen comes out, hey, me and the E Street Band, we're just going to play a couple of tunes and see if it works out. Yeah. Like, we're just going to play a couple notes.
They're messing it up.
Strumming G backstage. And the guy, little Steven, liked it, so we're just going to try to see what we do from here.
You know that with radio, too, because it's a live performance.
Most of the time, in
the mornings, you have a set list of being like, this gag, this gag, this sketch, this is going on, this blah blah blah, and when you just have to go,
here we go.
Yeah. There's two schools of doing radio talk shows. There's the guys that are making sure that everything is drum tight before they get on the air, and then they just do like essentially a one act play.
Right.
Callers and everything. They pre-record call. There's that school, and there's guys that are really good at that. And then there's the kind of school that I came from, learning from Kevin and Bean. It's that you really kind of try to be well-informed.
And then you go.
And just, that's where... Because that's the basis of being a radio personality. The more transparent you are, the more your actual personality comes through, the better off you'll be. Some guys are they created a character, and you know, Lycus is a genius for that because Lycus is a very smart man.
Yeah, Tom, and he was for those who don't know, Tom Lycus, he has this whole persona of just women are bitches, don't date them, and just. Have sex with young girls and then do it twice and then move on.
Well, he cultivated that locker room talk thing, and he that's because genius. He was a political guy before. I mean, he was like this kind of more well-rounded talk show host before that, and he cultivated this character, and it was genius, and he runs with it. And plenty of guys do that too, but there's also the school where it's like just kind of going out there. It's the same with comedy. I'm sure there's guys
that do characters and
you have Carrot Top, you have Larry the Cable Guy, you have guys like Dice, and I mean you got your Bill Burrs and your Daniel Toshes, and everyone's different, and that's the greatest part about this whole entertainment industry, that if you don't like something that's in front of you, there will be something for your taste.
Right. Yeah.
We have everything.
Wait 30 seconds.
Before we go, I want to make sure we plug everything. So, Mike Malone, give us your stuff.
Twitter is @MaloneComedy, and my Facebook fan page is /MichaelMaloneComedy, and I have my comedy album's up on iTunes, Let's Get Physical, and I have a new special, totally different hour, coming out, a $5 download on my website only at MaloneComedy.
All right, Mike Catherwood.
Loveline, 5 nights a week, lovelineshow.com. So sorry I'm late, guys. I really called.
No.
No problem, man. And he's not here, but let's plug Adam Ray's stuff, my co-host who is filming a movie. He's at Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, and I think it's adamraycomedy.com, Adam Ray TV for his YouTube channel. I am at Funny Brad, bradwilliamscomedy.com. This has been one of my favorite podcasts. Thank you guys so much for coming out.
Thank you.
This has been the About Last Night Show. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it. On the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.